Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, the Packers have shifted now to night practices at the end of this week. But before we get to talking about practice, as Allen Iverson so famously once said, we heard from Aaron Rodgers in the locker room late in the week, and he reiterated some things that he's said before in other settings about wanting to play football until into his 40s. He also would like to be doing it right here in Green Bay. He'd like to start and finish his career with the Packers. As I said, he's mentioned these things before, but he kind of reaffirmed them in a little bit different way this week.
He did, and that's the interesting thing about Aaron Rodgers, because he says things, but there's always like another little nugget that's involved there. And he has said in the past, he wants to play into his 40s. He's doing everything with his conditioning and his nutrition to make sure that can happen, trying to check all the boxes there. But then he also explained a little bit more about the motivations behind that. He's a big sports fan, a wide array of different sports that kind of appeal to him. And he mentioned, you look at Derek Jeter, you look at, Kobe Bryant and some of these all-time greats that played from beginning to end with one team. It's rare because so many things have to go in line with that. You have to be able to play at that level. A lot of times those guys are paid a premium.
Yeah.
And you have to keep playing up to that level throughout. So it takes a lot to make that happen, to facilitate that. But he looks at Green Bay, he looks at the situation here, and he thinks that's something he wants to accomplish and can accomplish with this team.
Yeah, I thought his comments were interesting because the natural assumption is that when you hear that from Rodgers, you think, oh, he thinks that or feels that because of everything he went through in 2008, watching
right.
what happened with Brett Favre, and Rodgers was right in the middle of it, and how it was a controversial time here in Green Bay and all that, and we all know how it got sorted out, and time healed all kinds of wounds, and we don't need to go back and go over all of that. But it's not just that. What he talked about is from the point of view of a sports fan. He was a sports fan, and he watched Joe Montana, was his childhood hero with the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
But Montana ended his career with the Kansas City Chiefs. Still was a good player, but it changes the memories a little bit. He mentioned Michael Jordan. He even mentioned Charles Woodson, which I thought was interesting because he certainly has nothing against Charles. But Charles Woodson has a significant legacy in the NFL in two different cities, in Oakland and
right.
in Green Bay. And I think he brought up Woodson just to reinforce the point that he would like his legacy in the NFL to be in one city, to be in one place, and he wants it to be Green Bay from start to finish.
Yeah, and look at even like Julius Peppers this offseason, going back to Carolina, which
yeah.
is his home state, his home team, in finishing, by all accounts, will probably finish his career there. It's something that everybody kind of chases a little bit. I think you see it. I mean, even Hank Aaron, to some extent, coming back to Milwaukee. I mean, those are the kind of things where sometimes it's good for both parties to go back and finish the legacy. I think of, Ken Griffey Jr. as well, going back to Seattle.
Sure.
But in the other case, how special is it when a guy is able to go beginning to end? Because that means everything did line up. That means the situation did play itself out, and it ended up being a swan song, kind of like what happened with Donald Driver in some ways with the Packers. So from Rodgers' perspective, he's also a realist. He knows that there's a lot of responsibility on him to keep playing at that level. He doesn't have this image of himself that I'm just the greatest quarterback that's ever played the game and I'll just be here forever.
Right.
He also understands that it's incumbent upon him to keep doing what he's done to this point of his career, 13 years in, 10 years as a starter, to show that this is where I want to belong, this is where I belong, and I'm going to do whatever I can do to keep that level of play and standard to where it needs to be.
Yeah, he mentioned in the offseason in a different interview setting that he feels maybe he's just on the back nine, starting the back nine of his career, to use the golf analogy you just said. 10 years as a starter so far. Another 10 is going to put him, in that 43, 44-year-old range. Now, as we're seeing, Tom Brady just won a Super Bowl at age 39. He's talking about playing until maybe 45, another 5 or 6
yeah.
years. The conditioning, the nutrition, all of the extra science that is known and that is going into the training of athletes and their bodies and everything. It'll be really interesting to see another 5 to 10 years from now just where Aaron Rodgers is and other athletes like him. How long can they prolong their careers at a high level, in these top professional sports leagues?
Right. And in Brady's case, it doesn't really surprise me because it's not like he's really lived off of his legs throughout his career. I mean, he is kind of what he is in terms of the speed side of that position.
Right.
But he's still throwing the ball exceptionally well, making the right decisions. interceptions, whatever it was, two interceptions, whatever he finished with last year, just remarkable
yeah.
numbers. The interesting thing about Rodgers is I think there's so many different ways he can take his game during this next stretch of his career. He's shown he can play in the pocket. When you go back to 2015 with the calf injury, he's shown that he can scramble and extend plays. He's just such a multi-versatile threat that I think it's going to be really something for Packer fans to watch in terms of how he evolves. I also want to mention, I can't speak for Aaron Rodgers, but I always tend to play better on the back nine too. So we'll have to see exactly how this shuffles out for him. But certainly being on the back nine isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Okay, well, that sounds good to me. With that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz, all the way over there. Wes, getting back to our discussion now of training camp. Thursday night, the first night practice of this year's camp. Some bad weather during the day forced the Packers to move indoors. Unfortunately, you know, the bike riding, all the fans that were here for that, they didn't get to participate in the usual training camp night. But inside, I'm not going to go so far as to say the Hudson Center became the Hundley Center.
Oh.
But backup quarterback Brett Hundley had a heck of a night in there. I was really impressed. What did you think?
I'm really impressed with that Hundley Center drop. Hey, I mean, how long were you working on that for?
I don't know. I thought of it sometime this morning, I guess.
That's good. That's very good, Mike. He was impressive. And yeah. This was, I think, kind of the performance Brett Hundley needed in some ways. Because, I mean, it's not that he's been having a bad camp or anything like that. It's just that you were looking for those kind of plays that you want to see from a third-year guy that's been working with, you know, Alex Van Pelt, Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, to see him starting putting that all together. I thought he really did in that setting. And like I said, that was sort of the unfortunate thing of this whole, you know, the weather being pushing the Packers into the Hudson Center, is the fact that it was probably the most fun I've had watching a practice so far in camp. I mean, there's just so many great plays that Hundley made.
Yeah.
You outlined quite a few of them. In you know, looking back, and when we did our three things video,
right?
I mean, the seam pass to Jeff Janis and the way he was painting the sideline with some of those receivers, it just, he was stepping into his throws. He looked confident, decisive. He wasn't holding onto the ball too long. It looked like Brett Hundley taking a jump. Now, a lot, four preseason games, 9-10 practices, a long way to go. But in terms of an early start to camp, I thought that's exactly the performance he needed.
Yeah, and I think the thing that stood out to me the most is this was not just a case of a quarterback and a receiver getting on the same page, maybe abusing a defender who wasn't up to the task. Brett Hundley was spreading the ball around to everybody during the 11-on-11 and 11-on-9 practice periods, which is the most live action that we get to see. I counted five different wide receivers and three different tight ends that he completed passes to. That's eight different targets in one practice. That's quite a bit. And I think the most impressive throw that I saw, we had talked earlier in training camp, he made a really nice back shoulder throw on a short touchdown pass in the end zone to Trevor Davis. Thursday night, he connected on a back shoulder throw down the sideline. It was probably a good, you know, somewhere between 15 to 20 yards downfield, a back shoulder throw to Max McCaffrey that really had some juice on it. The ball had some speed. He and McCaffrey were really in sync on that. It looked, as you said, like the type of play where Brett Hundley has taken a bit of a jump. And again, it's only one practice, but I was really impressed.
In a play like that, Mike, do you know what that represents the best? You know, more than arm strength, any of that stuff? Footwork. Being able to get the timing down, being able to know where your receiver is going to be and put it in the spot in which only he can catch it. That's what Aaron Rodgers does so well, and he did it on that play. Another one that stands out to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, if this wasn't him, forgive me, but the Michael Clark throw along the sideline.
Yeah, that was in 7-on-7.
Unbelievable, getting into the 7-on-7 drill. He has a 6'6" target. I don't know what Michael Clark's vertical is, but it was impressive.
Yeah.
Being able to go up there, put the ball where only he was going to be able to catch it. He goes up and grabs it, comes down with it inbounds, a really pretty-looking play. And he did it, as you said, in so many different ways, whether it was underneath, along the sidelines, down the field. Showed a master, kind of a mastery of what he was doing out there. And again, those are the kind of throws that you want to see from him at this point in his career.
Yeah, I liked watching him in some of the scramble drills, both going to his right, going to his left. He was making some nice throws. I think there was one play he'd like to have back. He actually got the defense to jump offside on a hard count.
Right.
And he had, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was Devontae Adams was open deep over the middle on a free play, you know, with the offsides, and he just missed him with the throw. And you could see his reaction afterwards. He was like, oh, like almost as though that would have capped off this really, really strong night that he had if he'd been able to connect on that. But to his credit, they had an offside penalty anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And you did see that slap, though. I mean, he wants to be perfect, and those are the kind of plays that get you there. One other thing I want to touch on, too, really quickly, because we're going to be talking about Kevin King here coming up in a little bit. But when Joe Witt Jr., the cornerback's coach, talked about King being on the field and wanting to get more balls thrown his way, Aaron Rodgers is the first guy he mentioned, but he was very quick to mention 7-2 and Brett Hundley and making sure that his guys get reps against Hundley. This isn't, you know, just a random backup that's just in there trying to find ways to compete. Witt looks at him as a guy that can also make his cornerbacks better, and that's a really, I thought that it was very understated, but I thought that was a huge compliment of as far as what Hundley can do, not only in trying to connect with those receivers, but also being able to have some teaching moments for those cornerbacks as well.
Yeah, and I liked what Hundley showed with one of the young receivers in particular, and that was Geronimo Allison. There was a play he went deep to Allison, threw it right on the money. It was a really, really nice deep ball and right in the breadbasket, so to speak, for Allison. And Demarius Randall, just at the last second, got a hand in there and was able to knock it out as Allison was trying to cradle it. Allison's down on the ground afterward. You could see he was frustrated that he didn't come up with that. Just moments later, Hundley went right back to Allison on kind of an out route towards the sideline right at the first down sticks, hit him with a pass, came right back to a guy that was a little frustrated at what had happened before. So those kind of moments can go a long way, too, in these receiver-quarterback connections.
Absolutely. And to me, and I've said this to you before, when you look at just the whole night in terms of what the Packers were able to do that first night practice, I thought the receivers shined, and what Brett Hundley was able to do with them was a big reason for that.
Yeah, all right. Well, with that, Wes, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford next to Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, you alluded to it in our last segment, talking about Joe Witt, the cornerbacks coach, and some of his comments from earlier in the week. Specifically, one of the things he said, he wants top draft pick and rookie Kevin King to get tested out here in training camp. And certainly Kevin King missed one practice earlier in the week with a sore shoulder, but was back out there on Thursday night, and he was getting tested.
He was. And first off, this was positive, because I think sometimes when you hear those shoulder injuries, specifically for cornerbacks, sometimes raises a red flag, like, oh boy, what is this going to mean? What is this going to entail?
Yeah.
The Packers really never led on to really being too concerned in terms of where, you know, King was at. They just gave him off on that Tuesday practice. He's back out in pads for that Thursday session. And he did. He was able to get some work. And that's important, because you go back to that offseason program, I estimated, I mean, he missed about 90% of it due to those league rules that prohibit him from being able to come to Green Bay until his school releases for the summer. So Joe Witt talked about it from the very first minute that the training camp started. It was going to be on King to show that he belonged. He hasn't seen a lot yet from him, because there just hasn't been a lot. But you look at 6'3", you look at 200 pounds, you see that guy standing at the line of scrimmage, that is a big project to work with.
Yeah, you could see Thursday night in the two-minute drill, it was ones versus ones, first string versus first string out there. And Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson were starting to find their groove a little bit. And Rodgers was going after King. Now, Kevin King has a ton of ability, and I think he's going to be a very good cornerback in this league. He did miss a bunch of time in the spring. He's got some catching up to do. And when you talk about one of the top connections in the league, Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson, I mean, boom, an out pattern for about 9 yards, then a quick slant to the inside for 16. Then at the end of the drive, they go back shoulder for the touchdown there at the goal line. Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson have done that to the best cornerbacks in this league. But that's the kind of thing that Kevin King needs to see, because he needs to get ready for that level of competition every single week in the NFL, because the Packers are going to be counting on this young guy to do some good things.
They really are. And I mean, if you talk about the gold standard, Mike, for being able to work against the quarterback and receiver duo. I mean, Rodgers and Nelson, they set it. Yeah. I mean, right now you look at the league, that's the longest pairing that have worked together in the NFL right now. And it's been impressive if you look at their track record, what they accomplish. You don't end up setting a Packers record for most touchdowns between the quarterback and a receiver without being pretty darn good. And also their practice habits. I mean, it's basically one mind out there. So for King to get out there and get those reps, there's a reason why Witt was saying that. Because he wants him to get tested. Because you look at the schedule and how this lines up for the Packers, particularly that first month, there are some good combinations, some good receiving core, you know, groups that they're going to have to be able to go against and stand up to. A lot of young cornerbacks again. Devon House is the one leading them. And everything that King can take away this time of the year, it's going to benefit him in the long run. Because you look at any rookie cornerback the Packers have had, probably going back to maybe 2009, I mean, they tend to play for one reason or another, and King has to be ready for that.
Yeah, this defense is going to be counting on him. It's almost as though you throw him right in the mix with all the other young cornerbacks, even though the other young corners have a little bit more experience than he does. But really, Joe Witt is looking at all of them as a group, wanting to really sort it out and say, hey, you know, who's going to outplay the other guy and deserve to be on the field? Witt mentioned Quentin Rollins so far is the guy who's outplayed everybody. He's really the one at the top of the class. You mentioned Devon House. He's been out there with the first string all the time. That hasn't changed. We don't know how the rest of this is going to shake out, and certainly there's nothing guaranteed even with House and Rollins when there hasn't been a preseason game played yet. But you could hear it. I could hear it in Joe Witt's comments on Wednesday to the media. He's really excited about what he's got with this group, but he's also serious and all business when he's got those guys and to work with them hands-on out on the field.
Yeah, you can look at tape, Mike. You can look at college film. You can bring up reel after reel after reel. It gets you to the point in which you feel like you know the player when you draft them, but you do have to see it on the field. And that's why I think Witt, when he met with the media on Wednesday, talked about needing to see it, needing to know what he's working with. Can he cover? Can he not cover? What does he need to work on? That's what this time is all about. So often we get so caught up in, okay, thumbs down, thumbs up, thumbs sideways when you look at training camp practices. But it really is about trying to find ways to get better. And I think when you hear these offensive and defensive linemen talk about the one-on-ones, you know, and just what they're trying to accomplish in that, and then you look at the cornerbacks against the receivers and the skeleton routes, there's so much that goes into that in terms of learning technique and mastering it, that when you get in those 11-11 situations, when you get into these preseason games, you can start to put that work to work. And that's what I think Kevin King is trying to do, and that's where the Packers are trying to position him after, you know, missing so much time and have to really learn this playbook through FaceTime.
Yeah, and he's got a lot to look forward to here over this next month with four preseason games. He's going to get a chance to show what he's made of for sure. With that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, quickly before we go, at the time we're taping this episode, Family Night is coming up for the Packers, the annual practice inside Lambeau Field in front of 60, 70,000 plus, whatever it might be. A big credit to the Packers fans for buying up all the tickets every year. It amazes me. But a festive night, and a lot of memories of some things that have happened on Family Night over the years. Any that stick out to you?
Well, first and foremost, Mike, I have to mention the pizza in the press box.
Oh.
It happens once a year. It's always a big moment for me. Once I get past that, obviously it's time to work, but you got to get the pizza in the press box.
Okay.
Beyond that, and now mind you, I don't have as much of a memory bank as you do when it comes to Family Nights, but the one that always stands out to me is 2012, which I believe was actually my first Family Night that I covered, in Brandon Ross picking off Aaron Rodgers. Now, this was during the scrimmage days, but what stands out to me about that is two things. One, I believe that was a thunderstorm night, so I think practice only ended up going about 25, 30 minutes. It was an early period, and they end up calling it because of weather. But for Ross, when you know the media just swarmed him in the locker room, and the excitement that he had, the pride that he had, This is a big night for those undrafted rookies and young players. Even though it isn't, you know, now it's a practice as opposed to a scrimmage, this is the first time they can get into Lambeau Field. Now, a lot of them have played in big stadiums in college, but there's just something different about the NFL and being able to see their expressions on their faces to get that experience, that carrot at the end of the tunnel, you know, for at the end of training camp trying to make a 53-man roster. I think that's the thing that every year always stands out to me the most.
Yeah, I've had a lot of memories of family night over the years, unfortunately, of thunderstorms and delays and sometimes canceled practices and whatnot. But aside from that, I think one of the things that's a fun tradition to watch, at least it seems to be becoming a tradition, is that when the offense scores a touchdown at some point during family night, the entire offensive unit, Aaron Rodgers, the starting line, all those guys, will collectively en masse do a Lambeau leap into the stands. So those fans down in the front row on either one end zone or the other are probably going to get a nice treat here at some point. But you mentioned it, the opportunity this is for the young players to get out there under the bright lights. One guy that I'm going to be watching, because this is really sort of the first step in that, is the rookie punter Justin Vogel.
Yeah.
He'll be now. I mean, he played in front of plenty of big crowds at Miami, you know, coming from a big school like that, but still. This is the NFL. You've got that NFL uniform on. The lights are going to be pretty bright. A lot of fans in the stands. So this is another step in his journey to try to make the 53-man roster, just like a lot of young guys on this team.
Yeah, and one thing to keep in mind, even though obviously he played at the U, Lambeau Field's a different animal, especially since they put in that south end zone renovation expansion. So Ron Zook has talked in the past to how the ball travels a little bit differently in there. That affects probably more with Mason Crosby, but that is something, too, that Vogel's going to have to get used to. And I think that's going to be a big thing, too, seeing how he responds to that environment, because he is the only punter on this roster right now. So maximizing that opportunity, showing and building what he's done these last couple weeks, it's going to be a big night for him, I'd imagine.
Yeah, all right. Well, we've got that to look forward to. And with that, we'll sign off on Packers Unscripted. But be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team and of training camp on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.